from the theme park capital of the world, bringing you the latest in theme park and pop culture news. Welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast. I'm Clint.
I'm Barry, and we are, it's been a year, hasn't it? Almost a year? We're almost at a year.
September, we looked it up the other day. What, September? I have it right here. Hold on. Episode one.
Yes.
Was older episodes.
You're going to have to keep clicking.
September 26th.
Yeah, yep. September 26th.
So this week will be 1 year for us. So yay for 1 year.
As you can guess, we didn't really do a good job of sticking to that one per week thing the first year, but we've been pretty consistent for a while now, so
the consistency has gotten better. I wouldn't say the hosts have gotten any better. I've gone back and I've listened to some of our older episodes, you know, like the first month or two, and we've both come leaps and bounds as far as, you know, how we present ourselves on this podcast, and we've gotten some feedback from the listeners, and we're still learning. So thank you, everyone. Did we mention that we hit 10,000 downloads?
Yeah, we've hit 10,000. Well, now over 10,000 downloads, and I believe even though we've got a few days left in this month, we're already on the verge of blowing past last month. So
yeah. So once again, really quick, we wanted to say thank you to everybody for listening for the first year. And we have lots of stuff coming, so stay tuned. Speaking of stuff coming, we got a lot to talk about today. We kind of been on a Halloween Horror Nights kick here, so we're gonna kind of change gears and get back to and get caught up with trailers and theme park news. All that stuff doesn't slow down. So
yeah, we actually got some pop culture news and some big pop culture news. And one of the biggest things to come out this week that for the Disney's new streaming service, which is supposed to launch late 2019, there's going to be some Marvel miniseries that will bring Loki and Scarlet Witch to the streaming service. As in the actors who played them in the movie, Tom Hiddleston and Elizabeth Olsen, will each get their own miniseries. You know, there'll be like it'll be a limited run television show. You know, the word has been 6 to 8 episodes, concentrating on these characters. And it'll be, the difference though is these TV shows will actually be produced by Marvel Studios themselves, not the Marvel Television Unit.
Oh, I didn't read about that part. That's interesting.
Yes. Kevin Feige will, as you know, since he is president of Marvel Studios, will oversee this new initiative. Which, you know, Marvel Studios has been, you know, a few years ago they split Marvel up and made Marvel Studios its own thing, and they kept the film part, and whereas the Marvel Television Unit produce. You know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they produce, you know, all the Netflix shows. But this is going to be produced by Marvel Studios, which makes sense because, I mean, you're using the movie actors. You're using the same production units that are going to shoot these things.
I was pleasantly surprised when this was, did they announce it, or was this kind of something that,
it leaked at first, and then they just straight up announced it.
Yeah,
because I think it was first reported about a Scarlet Witch series, and then plans were also confirmed about a Loki show. So, you know, Marvel and Disney still haven't commented on record, but I mean, this has all been confirmed information by multiple sources. So, you know, these shows are going to have a big budget, much like, you know, the Star Wars series that's coming to the streaming service is having, like, I think, what, a $10 million per episode budget. This thing will be, you know, this won't be an inexpensive thing. And it's another huge feather in Disney's cap of you know, we were expecting Marvel series on the new streaming service, but we weren't expecting them actually to use characters from the movies in some of these series.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people were expecting, you know, kind of the B-grade Marvel stuff, like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and, you know, stuff like that to be thrown on the streaming service, not, you know, not actual characters from actual blockbuster Marvel films getting their own spinoff series.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, you know, I mean, Loki has a huge fan base. But it, I mean, and the big thing too is it gives some of these, some of the other characters who normally wouldn't get their own movie, a chance to sort of shine in their own way, in a limited series. So,
yeah, it was really interesting that, because I would love to see them explore Scarlet Witch more. So it was really exciting to see that they chose her. Character to kind of explore more, because you know you still don't know a lot about her character in the Marvel film universe, at least.
Yeah, and I mean, this adds another big budget thing coming to the streaming services on top of the Star Wars TV series, which I believe we know now will be set 3 years after the death of Darth Vader. You know, it's you got a High School Musical series as well. You got the Lady and the Tramp movie coming, and I think a couple other things. So I mean, another big announcement for Disney's streaming service. I mean, they already had my money at what they've announced so far, and this just, you know, adds on to another reason to get this new service when it comes out.
Yeah,
moving on, we got a new trailer for The Grinch this week. Got to see a little bit more of, you know, we all know the story, and we got to see a little bit more of, you know, what they plan to do with this version. I liked it. I like you know, not being a big fan of the Jim Carrey movie, I like that, you know, Illumination is sort of doing their own take on this, and they've made the Grinch a little bit different, but still, I think it still captures the feel of the Grinch. I really like the way a lot of the animation, they showed some of the part with him pretending to be Santa Claus. I like the way the animation looked. It had a very Seussian look to it. When he was doing all his things to steal the presents and stuff.
Yeah, the first few trailers we really didn't get a whole lot. I think there was two teaser trailers that they rehashed.
Yeah.
So we kind of got the same footage in those. In this new trailer, we got some new stuff, and like you said, we get to see him dressed up as Santa, which looked really cool. I agree. So it was really interesting to see some more new footage, and I love the animation style, the bright colors. I like where they're going with this movie. I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, no, it's looking good. And another holiday movie we got coming is Wreck-It Ralph 2, or I guess now it's just called Ralph Breaks the Internet. And we got to see a little, you know, we've gotten some really cool stuff from the teaser and the first trailer so far, a lot of funny stuff. This one we got a little bit more of the story and the reason they're going onto the internet. And I like that we got to see some more of the little story beats and what's going to actually happen. And like I said, we were already, I mean, both of us, I think we were already all for this movie before, just based on what we've seen so far. And this just confirms to me, you know, I've already was excited for this film, and, you know, it was nice to see a little bit more of it before we get it coming up here.
Yeah, no, the whole storyline looks really interesting with her game console, Sugar Rush breaking and all that stuff, and they got to go find the part for it. So yeah, we got a little bit more information about the storyline. We got to see more of what's her name's character.
Gal Gadot's.
Yeah, thank you. So her character looks really cool in Ralph Breaks the Internet, and we really didn't get, you know, the first teaser trailers were all about the hilarity of the movie.
Yeah.
And you know, the Disney princesses, which I think were featured in this one too, weren't they?
Yeah, they were in just a brief, a couple of quick, spots in this, but it mostly focused on the story and some of the emotional beats that we're going to see in the movie. And like I said, I like it. It's already part of a pretty packed November between The Grinch coming out, this coming out. You got the new Fantastic Beasts movie. There's a ton. That's all. There's, and I'm sure there's one or two other big movies coming out in November. I'm forgetting. I mean, that's just a lot coming out. We got a lot of stuff to look forward to coming out this fall. And you know, one of the other ones that we've had just this really short teaser for the longest time, and we finally got a real trailer for Mary Poppins Returns. And I'm sure I'm going to get some crap for this, but I actually watched the trailer first. I had to watch it with no sound because I was working and covering something, and the trailer showed up and they dropped the trailer, so I watched it with sound. And I'm at something like shooting something, and then I'm watching the trailer while it's going on. And I was like, if anybody would have turned around and looked at me, they would have seen this grown man with like tears coming down his face. watching a trailer for Mary Poppins Return without even like just based on what the visuals were. And once I finally got to watch it a few more times, I was already excited for this movie just because of everyone involved, but then this trailer dropped and I loved the way it looked. You know, they teased some of the songs, but not too much. And of course, you know, the big teaser that was, you know, thing that I guess they had sort of been keeping quiet about it is, you know, you get to some of the scenes, and then towards the end of the trailer, there's Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah.
And there's like Angela Lansbury. You know, so
I didn't catch her the first time. She's quick in the trailer.
Yeah. And Dick Van Dyke is obviously playing the banker. He passed away, but I'm assuming he's playing one of his sons in this one. But still, I mean, that was a nice surprise to see, because I don't think they had announced anything about Dick Van Dyke being in it. So it's I like what I see. I loved the 2D animation live action stuff they showed in it. It popped really well, and it was cool to hear Lin-Manuel Miranda with a Cockney accent for the first time. So
yeah, no, I think the 2D animation, because you know, since everything's gone digital and you know computer animated, any 2D animation we get nowadays, no matter what film it's in, is a welcome sight. And I saw the 2D animation and I fell in love, so it was really nice to see that. And the trailer was fantastic. The movie looks great. I was blown away. I really didn't know what to expect with this movie at first, with the, you know, the teaser, but this made me really excited for it. So
yeah, no, so it's, you know, definitely excited for that coming out soon. But then the biggest bomb that got dropped this week is, you know, the day before, all of a sudden we get a tweet out about watch Good Morning America the next day, and they dropped the first trailer for Captain Marvel out. And they, for a teaser trailer, they revealed a lot of things that I don't know if we were expecting, but you know, it's I like the trailer. I know there were some people who were sort of like, it is a teaser trailer, but they, God, you know, besides the fact that they, you know, revealed a few little plot things about, you know, how does she end up off Earth and not realize, you know, who she is or where she's from. But they sort of inferred in the trailer she has some form of amnesia. We got, you know, so we saw so many little snippets of things, and then as usual, I don't know how they do it so well, but we got to see a de-aged Samuel L. Jackson as a younger Nick Fury.
Yeah.
And we've seen them use this special effects technology in a few movies now, and it's still amazing. It's just
Yeah, I compared it to Tron Legacy with, what's his name?
with Jeff Bridges. It's
with Jeff Bridges.
And that was really one of the first times I feel like we saw that use of that type of special effect. And it did, and it worked pretty good in that movie, just because of the fact that that Clue was a computer program, so the sort of digitalness of it wasn't too bad. But then, ever since what they did to Robert Downey Jr. in one movie, and then they did it to Michael Douglas, it's just crazy how good it looks. We saw a bunch of Samuel L. Jackson. We saw a snippet of a younger Phil Coulson. So I'm excited. I mean, this is gonna. It takes place in the 90s. I loved how it opened with her spaceship crashing into a Blockbuster Video. I mean,
yeah, that was really cool. The trailer didn't do a whole lot for me, as people saw me post on Twitter. The trailer itself just didn't. I don't know. It felt like I said, it felt like an ABC show commercial. It just, for a Marvel film, the trailer didn't do much for me, but I am excited for the movie. That's not to say.
Yeah, I mean, it's a teaser trailer, and with based on what the plot of the movie is, I mean, there's still a ton of special effects that they're still working on, because I mean, you're dealing with shape shifting aliens that can disguise themselves as humans. I mean, you're gonna have. From what we know so far, the movie is probably going to start in space. I have a feeling, we're going to see her, as part of this team, and then we'll eventually find out how she got her powers and the things, probably through flashback as she, I'm assuming, gets her memory back.
She looks pretty badass with her helmet costume, by the way.
Oh yeah, no, I mean some of the shots they showed of her, I mean, just looks badass. Because I mean, and I'll be interested to see, in the comics, she is one of the if not the most powerful superheroes in the Marvel universe. Well, it'd be interesting to see if they tone her powers down a notch in the movie universe, in the MCU, which they've done a little bit. They've tweaked the powers on some of the more powerful characters. I mean, that's just because it's easier that way to not have someone. That's always been one of the problems with Superman, is the fact if you go by the way Superman's supposed to be, he's is practically invincible. So,
quick question: what are her superpowers? I don't know a lot about Captain Marvel. I know her basic storyline. What are her superpowers?
I know she can fly. She's super strong. I can't remember what some of the other ones are off the top of my head. It's just, she is basically the Marvel Universe's Superman. So,
yeah.
And I liked what I saw. Was it the most exciting trailer? No, but the teaser trailers, it's a teaser trailer. We're gonna see. We'll probably get two more trailers before this movie comes out, with probably which will tease some of the more bigger aspects of the movie. So, but it was a big week for pop culture news and movie trailers. It's been sort of quiet lately, and then sort of all of it sort of dropped this week. But theme park news was pretty big as well, because Disney World announced a lot of things, and unfortunately, they announced a lot of things were closing.
Yeah, I had to go back and refresh myself, because so much, with all these, cuts, all these entertainment cuts and everything, there's a lot going on right now. So
yeah, I mean the first thing that really was announced, which was no surprise to those of us in the know, because we know it's been in the works for, I feel like, a couple of years now, that Illuminations next summer 2019 is finally going to close after running almost 20 years, to be replaced with a new show that will, much like When Wishes Closed and Happily Ever After started, this show will start the next night, at least based on what they've said so far right now.
I'm going to miss it.
I love the music. To the show, there are parts of that show that the technology is sort of falling behind the times. I hope the show will stick more with the whole world type thing that, you know, I mean, Illuminations in different forms has been around for a long time. I mean, but this version, Reflections of Earth, has definitely run the longest out of any version.
Yeah, it's, you know, I was a huge fan of the whole Epcot Millennium Celebration. I still love the music. So that, I think that's the part that I'm holding on to is the music and just the message of the show. I hope Disney doesn't go with an IP-filled festival for their next show, but I'm not holding my breath.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what they do with this new show.
Because we need this message more than ever, the message of Illuminations.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's always had a strong message. I know there's plenty of people who are like, thank God it's finally going away. But, I mean, I have probably seen Illuminations out of more than probably any other Disney nighttime spectacular. Just because the sheer fact of the amount of time I spend at Epcot.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's parts of it I still love to this day. But, you know, we'll be finding out over the next, you know, few months. I'm sure they're going to start leaking tidbits of whatever this new show will be. But that one is a closing where we're getting a replacement. Now there's a bunch of other closings where we're not getting anything new, at least for the time being. I mean, the biggest one is the fact that Rafiki's Planet Watch at Animal Kingdom is going to permanently close in October. Its final day will be October 21st. And the meet and greets actually end this week, September 29th.
So is that... I haven't been out to that area in like years, so I couldn't picture it in the top. I couldn't picture it in my head. Is Planet Watch pretty much the whole conservation station?
Yeah, that's what they renamed the conservation station, and they put a Rafiki theme over it. You know, sort of a Lion King theme over the
gotcha.
Whole thing. You know, it's where the animal care is. You got to see, you know. Vets were, you'd learned how, you know, the vets worked with the animals.
Yeah.
There was the petting zoo, you know, yeah, they did have a Rafiki meet and greet and I believe it's rotated around it. I think right now it's like Doc Stuff, Mick Stuffins is the other one.
The petting zoo.
Yeah, they had the petting zoo. So, I mean, the big thing was the education part.
Yeah.
And now that's just going to all go away. And it's you know, we've heard that, you know, there's been talk for years that they're going to try to move Animal Kingdom more away from the zoological part of it so they can, you know, get more rides in. But I'll be interested to see what happens. But it's, you know, once again, this is a cut, especially from a park that's, their attendance has gone up,
yeah,
dramatically over the last year. Over the last year, and you're now closing down part of the park, and you're closing down the train too. So
I think that was the most exciting thing for me going to Planet Watch was the train ride.
Yeah, I mean, and you went past some of the animal facility, backstage animal facilities too. So it's disappointing to me. I mean, it's, you know, yes, you know, based on what some people have said, attendance is down, bookings are down this fall, but it's like all of a sudden, it's not like they're losing money. It's just, you know, sort of disappointing. And, you know, we know Captain Jack's Pirate Tutorial is closing. You know, they had already, in December, the Move It, Shake It, little street party is closing, but that is actually part of the replacements we're getting. You know,
which we'll discuss next here.
Yeah, I mean, there are going to be some things coming, but some of these replacements aren't coming until 2019. You know, we're getting a lot more dance parties.
No surprise.
Yeah, I mean, the Move It, Shake It is being replaced with a new with a new event.
Mouse could dance it.
Yeah, I can't even say that. You know, it kicks off. You know, it's part of Mickey and Minnie's surprise celebration, which I guess is some of these things that were teased as part of being Mickey's 90th birthday, even though all these happen after Mickey's 90th birthday.
Yeah.
But yeah, January 18th, Mickey and Minnie's surprise celebration kicks off at the Magic Kingdom Park. with obviously new entertainment, of course, merchandise, and Disney's favorite thing, specialty food and beverage.
Yep.
Yeah, and the highlight is the Move It, Shake It, Mouse Could Dance It street party.
The what? No, I'm just kidding.
Which will feature, obviously, Mickey and Minnie, Donald, Daisy, Goofy, Pluto, Max. That's the big one in here. Max is going to be a part of this. So I guess
I love that.
Somebody's been paying attention to online chatter as far as why does Japan and Paris always get Max, but we don't. So
yeah,
Max will be a part of this. The surprise celebration will run from January 18th through September 30th. So there'll be all kinds of little things that Disney still has not announced that will be coming. Hollywood Studios is getting some new things. We all thought Pixar Place was just going to sort of go behind a wall and
just be a backstage area.
Yeah, but apparently they're going to turn it into a city block from Unisaburg, and it's going to be for the Incredibles. And, you know, it's a dance party. And it looks like it's a dance party mixed in with some meet and greets, too. So that's supposed to kick off January 18th.
And the Pixar takeover continues.
Yeah, and the other thing, Mike and Sully will return. They used to have a meet and greet at Hollywood Studios, and that'll be back.
Yeah, I saw that. I was excited for that. I always love meeting them.
Yeah, and this was all, you know, and already spring 2019 was Lightning McQueen's Racing Academy show, which was already headed there. All this is going to be needed in Hollywood Studios once Star Wars opens. I mean, if it all lasts that long, there's going to need to be extra things because, like we've talked before, Star Wars Land is not going to fix the problems at Hollywood Studios.
No, it's not.
And it might make them worse because there's still not enough to do in that park. Even once Star Wars Land opens, it's still not going to be able to deal with the crowds that we imagine that land's going to bring.
I don't think Toy Story Land is bringing in the crowds they thought it was going to.
No, it doesn't seem like it is. It's a nice addition,
yeah,
but it's not a headlining attraction, you know. Over in Animal Kingdom, we're getting Hakuna Matata Time Dance Party, which this will be on Discovery Island. And I imagine this is really gonna they get rid of the Discovery Island Carnival or something. I think that finally closed. I can't remember off the top of my head, but I imagine this is sort of going to be a replacement for that. And that kicks off January 18th and runs through September 30th. And it'll be a dance party hosted by Timon and Rafiki. So.
And they're celebrating. They're doing this for Lion King's 25th, right?
Yeah, and of course the new Lion King movie will be back.
Oh yeah, the live action.
We'll be debuting next year. As far as Epcot's concerned, we have the return of the International Festival of Arts, running January 18th through February 25th. The big thing with this festival is the Broadway concert series will be expanding to 7 days a week. That doesn't really surprise me, as popular as it has been. It'll be interesting to see if they bring a bigger lineup of performers this year, and rotate more in and out.
I've never been to that. I mean, you have, right?
Yeah, no, I actually, Festival of the Arts is really, the last 2 years has definitely become one of my favorite festivals because it's just, it's so different from the other ones. I mean, yeah, you have the food stands, but it's really cool to see some of the Disney Broadway performers, you know, people who have starred, you know, we've had, you know, the original Broadway Mary Poppins, we've had the original Tarzan, you know, we've had people from The Lion King, from Newsies, you know, it's pretty impressive to watch these Broadway veterans perform these songs live right in front of you. And it's definitely an totally different experience than listening to a recording. And some of these people have, I mean, their voices are just jaw dropping live. So it's, I mean, Festival of the Arts, I love it. It's definitely, I like the fact that it's different from the other festivals. The other big news is, you know, obviously Flower and Garden is coming back and will be running from March 6th until June 3rd this year. So
I heard a lot of people talking about those days. What does it normally run? I didn't go back and look. I can't remember.
I don't think it's ever run into June before.
So they're just running it late. They're just running it longer. It's not starting any earlier.
No, I don't think it's starting any earlier. It's basically going to run, you know, for. Three months. So,
yeah.
And the other thing is the Garden Rocks concerts series is going to be 7 days a week too. So that's a lot. So it's going to be a lot more artists coming to that. You know, so it's there's stuff coming in 2019. A lot of new entertainment. Obviously, we're losing a lot of entertainment right now and for the rest of the year. And in case of Animal Kingdom losing a whole section of the park,
it was interesting.
We'll see.
when they announced all these 2019 additions, the chatter on social media was this was because Star Wars Land wasn't going to open in 2019. But as you mentioned, it's probably because they're going to need more stuff in that park due to Galaxy's Edge opening next year.
Well, yeah, I mean, for all intents and purposes, based on everything we've ever heard, Star Wars Land is not opening till December of 2019. When they literally say late fall, all things, ideas have turned to it not being ready until December. I mean, the construction timetable between that and Disneyland's was supposed to be like 6 months apart. Albeit, it feels like ours, they've really been accelerating the construction rate. Like, there's been a lot of nighttime construction going on.
Yeah.
So whether they're trying to get it done sooner, cause and then on the one hand, we've heard that Disneyland's has fallen behind, that they've had some issues. Everyone I've ever, who's in the know, you know, some of these people we talk to online, almost everybody has been like December.
Yeah.
With anything with Disney, it always seems to be a race to the end, because it's like, I mean, look how long it took to build Toy Story Land, and they still had to like rush a bunch of stuff at the end there.
Yeah,
and it's Star Wars Land's a whole different animal. I mean, they've got to get those rides done, and they're some of the most high-tech rides Disney has ever created. So you're going to have a bunch of testing and adjust. And then on top of that, you're supposed to have all these walk-around characters, people who are in character in the lands. I mean, that takes time to get to
training, all that
training and rehearsing to get done. So, you know, the land's got to be done by a certain time. And then there's the question, are we going to get previews?
Yeah.
Or are they just gonna, you know, open it and hope for the best? It's not like Toy Story Land where it's a couple of rides and you know, scenery. This is supposed to be a living, breathing organism, and it's got to get done by a certain time so they can get in there and start working on things. And we will see, but. I don't know. You know, all this entertainment runs the first half of the year up. You know, a lot of it in September 30th. So, you know, I don't know if this is a way just to announce a bunch of things and hopefully, you know, the big thing Disney worries about is nobody booking for the first three quarters of 2019.
Yeah.
Because they're all waiting for Star Wars Land. So, you know, I don't know if this is just another one of their quick fixes. And, you know, we assume Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway is supposed to open like next summer.
Summer.
Yeah. And, you know, we don't know, I guess, you know, Ratatouille over in Epcot's not going to open until, I think, 2020. It might open a little bit earlier, depending if they rush it faster. But we know Guardians isn't opening till 2021. So it's I guess, I don't know if it's just Disney way to, like, try to get, you know, hey, we've got all these new things next year. Yes, they're almost all nothing but dance parties, but hey.
It's something.
It's something, so we will see. Whereas Universal just quietly sits by themselves and doesn't tell us anything.
Yeah. So I think we're down to our final topic here. And we are going to not quickly, we have some time here. We'll take our time and we're going to discuss Hollow Scream at Busch Gardens Tampa.
Busch Gardens was nice enough to invite us out for opening night to Hollow Scream 2018. And, you know, we got to experience... Hollow Scream is a smaller event for, you know, for those who don't get to go often. It is one of, you know... When it comes to, you know, quality theme park Halloween events, it's considered one of the better ones. It's not as big as it used to be because due to the issues SeaWorld Parks has had, they have had their budget cut the last few years. There's only six houses. There is a lot of scare zones. And with the tighter pathways at Busch Gardens Tampa, the scare zones are a lot different than what you're used to when you're at Halloween Horror Nights. So,
yeah, you know, it's always a different experience than the big boys here in Orlando, like Halloween Horror Nights. But not to say that it's not a great event. I loved it. I hadn't been to Hollow Scream in several years, at least 4 or 5 years since I had been down to Tampa to do Hollow Scream. So it was nice to get back there, check out the event. They have some really good houses this year. Some kind of were meh. But, you know, for what it is, the event's a really great time. So we'll go through really quick and chat about the houses. They have two new houses this year. The two new ones are Simon's Slaughterhouse, which they recommend 17 and up. It's not, you know, they don't force it, but it is recommended for 17 and up. And it's mainly because, it's not mainly, it's only because it's a giant, the house is a giant gore fest. Lots of blood and guts and...
The name, it's in the name. It's a slaughterhouse, and you're basically herded through it like your cat, like your human cattle, and everywhere you go, there's people being slaughtered, and it's blood, guts, all everything you can think of everywhere. It was okay. I mean, the great thing with Hollow Scream, everything is, all the houses are original concepts. I could definitely see where they were going with it. And, you know, it was really trying to get people scared and also gross them out at the same time. And there was definitely some gross out parts of that house.
It stunk.
Yeah, the smell.
The smell got me.
And, you know, but it just, I just wasn't really feeling the concept. I imagine for a lot of people it would be scarier. But it just, you know, it was sort of the same thing over and over again, and you're just getting sort of beaten over the head with just, you know, people being slaughtered in different ways throughout the house. I mean, there was a couple inventive things with the meat grinder one. That was sort of disgusting.
Yeah, there were a few interesting moments, but I've never been a fan of just gore when it comes to haunted houses, so... This house really didn't do much for me personally. So Moving on here, we're going to move up to the, actually probably our favorite house. We'll discuss it now just to get it done out of the way because we're talking about the two new ones this year. Insomnia. This was me and yours favorite of the night, I think.
Yeah, no, it's such a creative house. I mean, you go into a haunted asylum. Where people are experiencing their worst nightmares and they're dreaming, but the nightmares are coming to life,
yeah,
and happening to the patient. So whatever they're dreaming, like there's someone afraid of spiders and they're getting attacked by spiders, you know. And I thought it was super creative. So many different scares, and they were all so inventive.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, and there's one thing where the patient is my favorite thing was the patient who was counting sheep.
The sheep.
And then the sheep has come alive and is attacking them. And it's just...
The patient on the floor getting it mauled by the
mauled
sheep.
Mauled by the sheep. And the sheep's just like this demonic sheep. And it's like buying. And then all of a sudden it's like growling and stuff. It's, I thought it was so trippy. And like I said, there was a woman who was being attacked by spiders and they used like projection mapping and also, an actual giant spider. I just love our first run through. I just loved that house. It was so good.
Yeah, I liked it too. It was
creative and very inventive.
I liked it. There was a lot of cool moments in it. Some good scares, you know. Even I don't get scared a whole lot. And there were a few people that got me in the house. And so yeah, that was definitely our top pick, Insomnia. So kudos to Busch Gardens for that one. We really liked it.
Yeah, and I think our other one we really liked was Motel Hell, which was one of the four returning houses this year.
Yeah.
That one, there's another one where smells really, I mean, you felt like you were in this old moldy hotel. It was sort of disgusting. It's in certain spots.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess, you know, part of it was the Sandman, you know, is there to make your worst nightmares happen to you. And it was just, it's a long house too, and it just, you're going through different rooms and sections of the motel, and it just, horrible things are happening to people. And I really liked it. I thought it was a fun house. There was some great scares where I loved, there was a few where they used a mirror so you couldn't see the scare actor, and then all of a sudden they came out from behind what you thought was just an empty table sitting there. And
And we'll go ahead and talk about probably our other one that was kind of towards the bottom of our list was the Black Spot, which is their kind of pirate-themed haunted house.
Yeah, I mean, obviously pirates are a big deal in Tampa, and they've probably done a pirate-themed one before, but I haven't recalled seeing many pirate-themed houses. And it used the area, there's an area behind what was Tidal Wave, which is where the new Coaster Tigris is going. But I can't even remember if this used to be part of the Tidal Wave queue years ago or if it was an animal exhibit, but it's a lot of rock work and stuff like that, which was great for the pirate theme. I mean, it was great for the buried treasure. You know, you're going through a pirate has been marked with death, so all these people are cursed and stuff, all these pirates. And so it worked through cool that way because it looked like you're going through caves, pirate caves, where they've hidden their treasure or where they're hiding out hidden their treasure. But it just wasn't, I mean, it just didn't really do much scare-wise. It was probably the weakest out of all the houses scare-wise.
Yeah, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. I loved the, where, oops, I'm hitting my mic here, where it was a design. The natural setting that they had, like you said, with that kind of area, it was either an animal area or a queue for an attraction or something. My Busch Gardens Tampa layout knowledge is very slim because I don't get down to that park a whole lot. Like I said on Twitter, I don't like to drive down to Tampa. I love Busch Gardens. It's such a great park, but I don't get down there enough to, you know, really know my Busch Gardens history. So, it just didn't deliver on the scares, and which was kind of unfortunate because I really liked the house as far as the scenes and the setting and the mood the house delivered was really neat. So, I think that was our other one that was kind of on the lower end of the night. We'll talk about Deathwater Bayou next, which is another one that they've been returning.
Yeah, I believe this is Deathwater Bayou's fifth season, and it's always been one because it's been like three years since I've been to Hallow's Scream. It's always one, at least the times I've gone to it, didn't disappoint. They change it up a little bit each year, the last 5 years, and it's a fun house. It's got a bunch of inventive scares. It's got, of course, the vortex tunnel, which we don't always get to see that much anymore. I like, you know, you're going through, the bayou in New Orleans. And so you're going through different scenes through the swamp and then you make it into the city and a lot of fun, different things. And of course, voodoo related. I mean, it always works well as a house. So,
yeah, I really liked Deathwater Bayou. The sets were really neat in that house. There were a lot of good scares. It was one of the darker houses of the night, as far as the lighting goes. It was a very dark house, and there were some good scares in there from what I can remember. So I liked Deathwater Bayou. It wasn't my favorite, and it wasn't in my opinion one of the worst. But it was a solid house, so I enjoyed it. And I think we got Unearthed. That's all we got left, right?
Yeah, I mean that one's interesting because it's supposed to be this house that like this construction crew has unearthed and it's unleashed a demon seeking revenge. And I the sets in that were really cool. It was a lot of like pretty elaborate stuff, including like parts of the house that would actually move. And it looked like there's one part towards the end where it looked like, you know, it was like Jaws. The house was like eating people. And
this was another one that had that I really liked set design wise. And this and one they also go ahead.
Yeah, and you had the option of going through it with a flashlight, which I guess. For some people, that ended up distracting you because you're like using the flashlight to look at the details, and then you know, blam, a scare actor gets you because you weren't paying attention.
Yeah, we didn't go through with the flashlight, but we saw a lot of people that did take the flashlight. So I really didn't see the need for it. If I'm going through a haunted house, I want it to be as dark as it can be. But maybe like you said, maybe having the flashlight is a good distraction because you got the flashlight and you're shining it on things, and that takes your mind off of the scare actors, being able to kind of sneak in and get the scare. So, but yeah, they had the option of you getting like one of these big, like handheld flashlights, which is a neat little addition. It kind of gives you that construction site feel, which is the whole theme of the house. So,
We really like the houses. The thing, though, I think I like the best about Hallow's Scream are the scare zones, because you know part of their marketing is and their hashtag is nowhere to hide, and there really is nowhere to hide when you're walking through the park, because I mean they have there's six scare zones in this park. But on top of the scare zones, there's roaming hordes of scare actors. There's sections that aren't listed as being a scare zone, but there's scare actors there. Some of them hiding in the bushes to get you.
Yeah, I was doing a lot of contrasting, not necessarily comparing, but contrasting with Halloween Horror Nights, and you don't see this at Halloween Horror Nights, like, scare actors like in the bushes, like you said, just getting really creative, and you can't see them because a lot of the scare zones, even the area, like you said, the areas in between the scare zones are so dark you can't see a damn thing. And I agree with you completely about the scare zones being the better part of Hollow Scream versus the houses, because like you said, there's no safe place. So even when you're not in a scare zone, and they clearly mark the two entrances for the scare zones, if you think you're safe by not going into a scare zone, you're completely wrong, because there could be somebody like right next to you in a bush or something. But the scare zones that they have are the meat market, which is your usual, you know, it was kind of the forefront of the slaughterhouse, Simon's Slaughterhouse, haunted house. You had to go through the meat market to get to the slaughterhouse, haunted house. And they had food there. They had games,
It was like it was weird, because it was like a mix. It's, you're in a scare zone, but then there's also food there, but then there's also like displays that look like a food stand but aren't a food stand, because it's like, you know, body parts and stuff. And I liked how they mixed that in with the actual like food and merchandise stuff. Is like,
yeah, it was really interesting how they pulled that off. They had like a little midway game with like brains or something, or one of the new scare zones this year was Maniac Midway over by Falcon's Fury, Pantopia. Yeah,
Pantopia, and that scare zone was so big, because not only did it take up like all of they were roaming around all of Pantopia, but they were roaming all the way down to where the Rhino Rally entrance used to be. The clowns were all the way down there.
It started all the way up there and went all the way back past Falcon's Fury.
Up to the crash test clowns, where this year, in the past, I think they've had zombies on the bumper cars, but this year it was like zombie clowns.
Yeah.
That you could get on the bumper cars and you'd ride the bumper cars, and then not only were you were being chased by like these zombie clowns in the bumper cars, which I love that. That was so much fun.
Yeah, that's one of the more unique attractions they have at Hollow Scream, are the bumper cars. Every year they throw, you know, a Halloween themed character, and like you said, it's been zombies years past, and they kind of threw clowns into it. They were still kind of acting like zombies in the bumper cars, but they were clowns. So that's always fun to do. It's a good time. That was one of the first things we did. And then the other scare zones, there's Camp DOA, which, we walked through a couple times, and I wasn't too, we're not going to rank them, but I didn't, Camp DOA didn't do too much for me as far as scare actors.
Yeah, I mean, it was your typical sort of backwoods type theme, you know, was sort of, you know, rednecky type.
Yeah. Thing.
There was a couple inventive little things. There was like this woman holding this dead baby, but it was like on a rubber string. So you'd be walking by and then the baby would come right out at you. And that was sort of funny. And most of these scare zones were new this year. The Deadly Toys, which I liked how they used that over by where Sesame Street is. And so you had like these sort of demented toys, including my favorite thing was the teddy bears and rabbit, and this looked like stuffed teddy bears and stuffed rabbits with chainsaws.
Yeah, I think that was me and you's favorite moment in that scare zone scene.
And not only did they have chainsaws, but they can make it so their teeth grinned, and when they did grin, it was like razor sharp teeth.
Yeah.
So that and like the one of the teddy bears that was like wielding a chainsaw, but then had like free hugs painted on it. I thought that was sort of cool. Helen Wills, which was over near Quasi, which is sort of like a post apocalyptic scare zone, but that had a little inventive twist, because they had these like were basically leaf blowers, but they were sort of made up to look like gun.
Some sort of weapon or something.
Yeah. And they would just sort of wander past somebody and then just sort of hit the button and blast them with some air and like freak them out, which I'd never seen before.
I would I've in a million years, I never would have thought to use a leaf blower as a scare tool in a scare zone. And it worked. We stood there for a few minutes and watched the scare actors. You know, like you said, they'd kind of mingle with the crowd and, you know, point the leaf blower up into somebody's face and turn it on. And it's actually a pretty good scare. It surprised me.
Yeah, no, I thought that was cool. And then the other scare zone was Dia de los Muertos, which, of course, is Day of the Dead. That was more of your fun photo op scare zone. They weren't really trying to scare anybody there. I mean, it was very, very, I love the Day of the Dead theme. I love the whole sugar skull thing. And they were walking around and doing stuff, but that seemed more to be the stop and pose and take a picture scare zone than anything else.
Yeah, it's the first scare zone you see when you get into the park. So it's kind of a welcoming scare zone, so to speak, where it's not really scary. But yeah, no, that scare zone I liked, just for the, the visual aspect of it. I've always been a fan of the Day of the Dead, you know, the Mexican celebration, and, you know, it was really interesting to see how they did it.
Yeah, and like we said, this is on top of all the roaming hordes that were roaming the park. I mean, you had guys on sliders who would come out of nowhere. Like I said, you had people hiding in the bushes, some disguised as bushes. You had some characters who were sort of purge looking. They all had masks on and were carrying like weapons and stuff. And the front gate, was really cool because you walked through the front gate and they had all this projection mapping up on the buildings there, you know, with different things going on top of some scare actors being there at the front gate. And even at the end of the night, on your way out, as you exit out, there's scare actors from the exit of the park all the way to the tram.
Yeah.
there are scare actors. And the other cool thing, a lot of the houses, they have scare actors out in the queue too.
Yep.
This is like one of the things, you know, over the years, people have talked about Hallow Scream and people I know who work Hallow Scream. They don't have the budget Halloween Horror Nights does.
Yeah.
But they pride themselves on, we're going to get you somehow, somewhere that night. We're going to get you.
Yeah.
And they got me a bunch of times that night there.
Yeah, you could tell the passion that, you know, a lot of the people that are working the event, especially the scare actors out in the midways, they get very creative. They get, you know, they have a, it seems almost like they have a little bit more freedom at this event versus, like, say, Halloween Horror Nights. They're allowed to get a little bit more creative in the scare zones, and it shows.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing, we saw the Fiend show this year. You know, it's been there. I don't want to compare it to Bill and Ted. I mean, it's varied over the years about how much pop culture stuff is in this show. And they used to have another show that really did more pop culture type things. It's their only show now, and it's had various incarnations over the years. I would say this was one of the weakest ones I've ever seen.
Yeah,
it's a lot of like really naughty jokes, but a lot of it fell flat. I mean, the dancing's great, but it just I just was not feeling it this year. And I've seen past shows of the Fiend show that I thought were really funny and fun, but this one just I felt a little bit of a disappointment this year.
I agree.
I know it's been mixed because there's some people who were like, no, we really like the show. And
There were people, you know, there were people in the audience that the we watched the last show on Saturday night or Friday night, and you know, there were people that were loving it, but I'm with you 100%. I just wasn't feeling the show. Ninety nine percent of the jokes were sexual jokes, and at some point you were just beating a dead horse with some of the sexual jokes. There were a few pop culture references, but, you know, it just, I wasn't feeling it at all. Which is unfortunate because, you know, we don't have Bill and Ted. So you would think that Busch Gardens would, try to capitalize on that with putting on a better show, but this show just doesn't seem to deliver on that aspect.
Yeah, no, I just, you know, I've liked the show in the past, but this year it just fell a little flat for me. So it's like,
but we had our hot nurses.
Yeah, I mean, it's always got the hot nurses, but it's and that's the other thing. They had had a lot of different photo ops throughout the park with different female characters. There was like the Harlequin, the nurses, which they've had for years now.
But yeah,
there was like the Harlequins in one area. There was some, like, I guess they were supposed to be like butcher girls or something in another area.
Yeah, and aside from, you know, the sexy girl photo ops, they had just a lot of you know, with Disney, with the whole wall thing, like the purple wall and the moss wall, they had a lot of hollow scream walls where you could pose for pictures and stuff, so
yeah,
that was really cool.
And there's a few of them where, like, there's one of them I know where, like, a scare actor may pop out from behind you.
Yeah,
in one of those walls. And yeah, and they, you know, something that we no longer have at Halloween Horror Nights, they have the shot girls, but they actually have shot guys too. So
yeah,
yeah, that's something we no longer have at Halloween Horror Nights. But yeah, overall, I love the event. And it's, you know, if you buy your tickets in advance, it's a really great deal. And they even have a thing. They have the Fright Feast where you get in early, you have dinner, you get to see a preview of the Fiend show, and then you get front of line access to all the houses, like, I believe till like 8:30. So yeah, I mean, it's, you know, for what you get, especially, and for the price, it's a very well done event.
Oh yeah, I agree. You know, it's definitely worth the money. It's definitely worth the trip down to Tampa. You know, don't listen to my whiny self about the drive down to Tampa. This event is at least worth a one-time hit going down to Tampa for, you know, an evening. And it's such a change from Halloween Horror Nights, and it's really enjoyable. I loved it. I was glad to get back and experience it. So yeah, that's kind of our and of course you got the coasters. Who doesn't love riding roller coasters in the pitch black?
Yeah,
Cobra's Curse, Montu, Kumba, Shikra, Falcon's Fury, which we rode in the dark for the first time. And let me say, Falcon's Fury in the dark is amazing.
Yeah, and Falcon's Fury for this event, they don't turn on the lights that are on the tower. So you're actually, you know, going up a little bit darker than you normally would. But I mean, who doesn't love coasters at night? I mean, that's my favorite time to ride roller coasters at night, and so
yeah,
it's fun getting to ride them at night. Which, you know, a lot of times, most of the season around here, especially at Busch Gardens, you don't get to do that. So
yeah,
except for the summertime.
So yeah, that's definitely another big plus for the event, is they run all the major coasters and rides in the dark. So. That's a big plus as well. So
we can't recommend it enough. It runs through select nights through October 28th. We have a walkthrough of the new Insomnia Maze right now up on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/thrillgeek. We'll be adding some more content throughout the next week from Hallow Scream, including all the fun we had on opening night at Hallow Scream.
Yep. So, all right, I think that's it, right?
Yes, that is it. So
plowed through it.
So we are at Thrill Geek on Twitter and Instagram, facebook.com/thrillgeek. Please like and follow our Facebook page where we do multiple live streams throughout the week. We did one from Hallow Scream. We did one this past week from Infinity Falls testing, which hopefully will be opening soon. And then, of course, there's youtube.com/thrillgeek. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel. We've got highlights of every house from Halloween Horror Nights, every scare zone from Halloween Horror Nights. The big thing we have up now is Clint and I running around opening night at Halloween Horror Nights, experiencing an RIP tour.
And the media event.
You guys wanted us to vlog, so there's your vlog. So we're trying to do a little bit more of that, and so you guys can sort of see some of the fun things we get to do. And like I said, we have the Insomnia Full House walkthrough from Hollow Scream, and we're adding more Hollow Scream videos throughout this week, so you guys can get an idea of what it's like to go to this really fun event. And of course, ThrillGeek.com for the latest in theme park and pop culture news. And of course, the Thrill Geek Podcast. We are on iTunes, Google Play, anywhere you can get a podcast. You can listen to the Thrill Geek Podcast.
You good? Got everything?
Yeah, I think I can breathe now again. So
take a breath. We also have shirts. Our Spreadshirt store is open. Our Halloween Horror Nights themed shirt is also still available. So be sure to check those out, and we'll be adding a few more options here shortly. So, and all that stuff, all the money we make from that goes right back into the website, whether it's, you know, new equipment, hosting the website, the podcast. So all that goes right back into helping out the website. So we greatly appreciate that. And, next week, as a lot of you know, Barry is getting married.
Yeah.
So
I'll be here.
we have something planned. I'm kind of keeping it on the DL for now. But just because he's not here, don't expect a new episode next week. We will have something for you. So, Barry will not be here next week. So,
I will be in the Bahamas while we would normally be recording the podcast, but next time we come back, and record again, I will be a married man and,
dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. So, and that will just mean legally something will change, but
you'll be the same person still.
Yes.
You'll still be
living in the same apartment that we've been living in for over a year now.
Yeah. So,
thanks for listening. I can't believe it's been almost a year. We still cannot believe how much and how fast this podcast has grown. It's crazy.
Yeah, and thank you guys for listening and supporting us and downloading the podcast. We really appreciate you guys listening to us yak our mouths every week, and we've got nothing but positive feedback, positive comments from everybody. So, again, thank you very much. We really appreciate that. So, all right, let's get out of here. Thanks, guys, for listening, and I will see you next week.
See you in the parks.